You know, aside from being nice ornaments, a fella can have a whole lot of harmless amusement out of these here toys. Now, take, for instance, them knobs up on top of that sign there.
Hi, I'm Paul, and we are
SP Film Viewers.
So we've done a few films from the 2000s, it seems, of recent, and also ones of more up-to-date category, but I wanted to think about, let's take it back a bit further in the early 90s instead, I think. So I was like going through a few, wasn't I, and then gave you like a sort of conundrum.
You did. Between a Cary Grant movie and a James Stewart.
Yep.
Which is tricky. And the Cary Grant film, obviously, I think that would be more up my street just because it seems like one of those romancy, I feel.
Yeah, like the ones he typically does. You like, it's like Bringing Up Baby that we've already covered, or even maybe The Bishop's Wife.
Yeah.
That you also covered.
Whereas then you have to dishearten me and say that the one with James Stewart in it is a Western. And I was like, I've seen two Westerns in my life and one's been all right and one's been crap.
Yeah. So that won out of a coin toss, essentially. We have to start a little like Google Hub device to
heads or tails
it, and you're like, oh, is it just gonna just go heads?
It proved me wrong, didn't it?
But it's like, it's a 50-50 chance, isn't it?
And I was like, yeah, but is it just gonna do alternative? But then I kept on asking it, and
it's like tails one. So this one being a gamble in two cents, because obviously I haven't seen it either, and that being obviously because it is, for you, it's a Western. But I said it's comedy Western, and you'd be like, is that going to be enough to work for you in a past, even if it's got James Stewart in? And the fact that, because this is, I would say, well, I mean, it's in the book of like 1,000 films to see before you die type of thing. But this isn't a film like on people's radar, like, oh, I know exactly what that is. I've heard that title. So I do like want to discuss films that people might not have necessarily heard of in obviously the mainstream type of thing, or like, it's a means of hopefully to get people to check out these films.
Yeah, no, really. I agree.
Even if they may be good, maybe bad, but you know, we don't know what this will entail. But I've sort of like a vague idea of what it might involve. But
yeah, I think it's a bit of a sweet one for me. I think the Cary Grant one, His Girl Friday, I think I would have absolutely adored and loved. But would I have had a lot to talk about in a podcast apart from gushing over it? I'm not sure. Whereas this one, I'm like, well, there's James Stewart, which I adore, but then it's a Western, which I've not really had a great experience with. So will this be more content for a podcast? We'll have to see.
Yeah. But that's not to say we can't talk about His Girl Friday down the line, maybe.
I might pick it for my birthday, because since I bought you it so that I could see it.
Yeah.
Literally, that was...
Yeah, so there you go.
Literally.
Yeah. Well, I'll read a very brief synopsis.
Okay.
So, a man is summoned to the town where his father served as a sheriff. He must do his best to bring the lawless men to justice in order to restore order. So, very simple.
Yeah, quite vague, really. Not much going on, but yeah, we'll see. I just hope that my James Stewart is a goodie and he's portrayed in a...
Yeah, I'm thinking that he is. He's not. I think he'll be the... Whether he's Destry, I'm not sure, but...
I just hope he's not a bad sheriff, if he is a sheriff at all.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I guess we'll find out shortly. So we'll be back with our thoughts on Destry Rides Again.
Whenever I meet a new deputy, I always ask him for his gun. and I ask him real nice.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cat. I'm afraid this here is one gun your collection is going to be minus.
You mean I'm going to have to take it?
If you can. Oh, hold on, hold on. Get excited.
And we are back from Bottleneck.
What a name. It's really imaginative, isn't it? Well, I'm sorry if there is actually a place called Bottleneck. I really haven't done my research, but I just feel like it's one of those things where it's, I don't know, some junk person's thought of it.
Well, I guess that could work in a sense because obviously it's like, obviously like liquor's flowing quite in this big saloon and everything, but also I guess it makes it sound like it's, you're stuck in there once you're through, and it's like, well, you kind of, this is all you've got to live for.
I think it's the characters that you've got within this that trap you. Like, they're in a bottleneck of, like, the mayor and the crook of the saloon, and it's kind of their town and they're running it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're stuck in that bottleneck. Even if you're a good person, you're not going to come out justified.
Yeah, so we've got this establishing kind of area with, you know, like, a wild saloon, as I say, like a lot of fights and music playing and all that kind of stuff that you kind of expect from this kind of.
I really enjoyed it. So it opens up with, is it Francis or Francine or
Frenchie?
Yeah. If I remember Frenchie from Greece, then that'll stick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes the way that people pronounced it seemed different every time I was hearing it.
I did have to look to the back of the Criterion box.
I like her as a character, though. I think she's feisty for a woman back then. Mm-hmm. Like, you could either be very submissive and do as you're told, or you would be kind of... She is, like, Bottleneck's female slut, but I feel she's... Well,
to put it lightly, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, but she's got...
Sass.
Sass, yeah. She's more like, obviously, like, I say, a prominent... I say jawline, essentially, or like facial features to her.
Not chiseled, really, yeah, for a woman.
Yeah, not like typical, like what you'd expect from like a, not to say she isn't pretty, but like in a typical sense where everyone's like, you know, like drooling over her in the.
Yeah,
kind of,
but I think
sense.
That's her confidence. I don't think she's absolutely beautifully stunning. I feel like I've seen a lot more back in the day that were, but I think she reminds me of Rizzo from Greece. She's that kind of vibe.
Yeah, the short hair.
Yeah, and the hardness and the bit of like a short mess with me.
Yeah, she can work the men really in her favour.
And she knows what she's doing. And I appreciate that because she's working with her assets at the time that she's been given. She's singing, she's throwing drinks at people, she slaps a man because he touches her bum or something like that. And I just think when I saw that initially, I was thinking, gosh, imagine being a woman back then. Like, how awful would that be? Like, literally, she would just a piece of meat to every man, like, there. But that's the only way she could have power.
She's unofficially, like, the boss of the town. She runs this, it, really. But...
And I think that's only because every man in that saloon is thinking with their underpants. Because of her, like, her presence is because of the sex appeal that she has. And I think that's what all the men are drawn to, and they get a little bit flustered and a bit... And I think that's how she... can control the situation.
Exactly, yeah. It comes across in a way that you would typically expect it to function, because obviously men, say, think with the pants, and it's like, oh, the woman's a pretty distraction from, you know, winning a card game in this sense for the land. This guy, Mr. Kent, who's, as I noticed throughout the film, he kind of holding in his, like, jacket lapels.
Trying to be like, proud in a sense.
Well, no, you can say like, I am like, you must respect me type of way, not in a cute way or anything but as in like, well, don't mess with me type of way.
I thought it was more like trying to make himself look bigger, but he's not. I feel like he lacks a lot of confidence and he's trying to.
Because he's got that, he looks like a villain, essentially, and he is.
Wait, who are you on about? The guy that loses all his land?
No, of course not. Oh. No, the one with like the small little mustache, and he takes out the sheriff.
Yes, I thought you meant the other guy, the one that lost his
No, not him. No, not him. No.
Yeah, no, he's a twat.
Yeah. I think it's like, why are you going off?
I didn't write anyone's names down apart from Frenchie. And obviously, when it comes to James Stewart's character, it's called Tom Destry.
Yep.
So I'm guessing Destry is a last name.
Yeah.
Like Parks or Wilkinson. Yeah. So I think that's the only really, I'll be honest, that's the only two really you need to know, isn't it? They're the leads.
And the Washington Dimmesdale, who's the guy who, like, who's like the town drunk at this point. And then he's like, oh, well, now the sheriff's gone, we'll appoint you as a sheriff because no one will take you seriously.
Yeah.
Type of thing, because he's like, I'll just lay about drunk. And it's like, oh, now we can do whatever we want kind of thing. There's no law and everything. But then he has like some reason, a quick turnaround. He's like, well, I'm going to put this down to shape. Like, am I really the sheriff? It's like, yeah, well, I'm staying off the booze now.
Yeah, and it kind of backfires on them.
Yeah.
The mayor in the town is seedy as hell. He's like joined up with the saloon in the, it's like a little bit of a, like a, I don't know, gangster or mafia thing. You basically.
Yeah, yeah. West, well, it's in the Western sense of that, yeah.
Like,
yeah, they're corrupt.
Yeah, they're in cahoots together.
Of that, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of like little quirks that these characters do have, which I kind of like. Obviously, like the mayor, for example, who always like chewing tobacco.
Was, I didn't realise like, that's what
something
he was
doing. In his mouth, and he's playing like the checkers at the table and everything. Again, it's like a power
and he's always in the pub or the saloon.
Yeah.
Like always.
Yeah.
Like he's never not there. Yeah. So he knows something's going on. Yeah. Like you haven't even seen where the mayor should reside, like where his office is or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It looks like it is in the pub.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what it is. We know that Frenchie is the singer of, like, she's the entertainment of the pub, isn't she, or the saloon?
It's a pub.
It's not a pub.
It's a saloon. If it's a Western, it's a saloon.
What's the difference? It serves alcohol.
We might as well just say bar then.
Oh yeah, bar. But I'm not American. I'm British. But yes.
Yeah.
Anywho, so she's the entertainment. She sings like, oh, what was that Joey one?
Oh, I forget now. Joey.
Because it started
little,
with
Little Joe or something, yeah. Like
Little Joe.
Little Joe, and they're all like singing along, yeah.
And something to do with the sheriff or whatever.
Yeah.
And it starts off with that song, her singing, and it ends with that song, but obviously not her singing, sadly. Mm-hmm. And
spoilers.
Yeah. And I think it's just like kind of showing a bit of a full circle with how it's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love James Stewart in this. I really do. And I think...
And in general.
Yes, I do. I really do. Like, I think if I were back then, I would swoon. Like, I would. He's just, I don't know. I think it's the way he speaks, it's his presence, it's just everything about him just seems like a wonderful person.
Mm. And so when he comes, obviously invited to the town, because
mm-hmm.
Dimmesdale's like, well, I remember his father being like really like gun-toting, law-abiding badass, and, you know, like, take control of the situation. So, well, his son's going to be exactly the same. And then turns out he's a bit of a, let's say, laughing stock on his own, but he's not like being a fool or anything. Like, he's just like a bit more mild mannered and like, oh, I don't even have guns.
Yeah.
And stuff. But there is, it comes to light, there's a reason behind that, which is fair enough, isn't it?
And I think he's, as a sheriff and as a person, he's very manipulative without seeming to be. Like, he's quite impactful with how he words things, how he...
Words as weapons, more so.
Yes. Yeah. And how he can make people be on his side and then twist things. And it's just so clever the way... It's more like a detective than it is like a sheriff. He's more investigating, interviewing, sussing the people of the town up.
I'd rather ask questions first than shoot, even though he doesn't shoot.
Yeah, but then it's like, well, until I have hard evidence, I'm not going to put them into prison or jail or whatever you want to call it. And, like, with the fact of the land being like, well, actually, you have signed the deeds for your house over, this is your signature, then by law, this person owns your house. But he was doing everything as a game, not in a bad way, but trying to trick people into circumstances and catch them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was always, like, two steps ahead of everybody else and how they would act. And I think it was, I don't know if any other Westerns like that, but he just seemed like a really humble character. And it was actually more thinking with your brain than just pew, pew, and the eyes.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was, it did inspire a lot of comic Western stylings. I'll admit, I did look through the like the little booklet that came with the disc, and it kind of says that, and obviously it helped James Stewart out as a get his like stardom. Really, he was like his first Western, and then went on to do a few more.
Really,
actually, the fact I've seen one other one that he's been in with John Wayne. I can't remember what year that came out, but
what year did this come out?
This was 1939.
When did A Wonderful Life come out?
And if you're going to ask that, Sarah. I did write that down, but you should know. It's came out in 1946.
Oh, okay. So this was earlier.
So a lot earlier. And then
I did think he looked thinner, to be fair, but maybe that's just like a younger man's stature.
So I said this sort of solidified him as being like, oh, wow, this guy's really, really good. And
he is really good.
To bigger things.
I think he's better than Cary Grant.
Oh, all around.
Yeah. Don't know, Cary Grant, what I've seen is just, it's the same. He's just... It's the same role, just in a different adaptation.
Right.
Whereas with this one for James, I feel like, yes, okay, he's still a humble character, like it's Wonderful Life, don't get me wrong, he is. But his intelligence in this...
Yeah he's, like I say, different. He's a bit more reserved in the sense he doesn't... I think, and obviously, back to It's a Wonderful Life, where he's, you know, he does fly off the handle a bit in scenarios, but...
Well, don't get him wrong, he's had a lot on his plate.
In that film, yeah. But... And this, he's kind of just like your typical, like, you know, oh, wait a minute, like, kind of thing, in the way he says things.
It's just the way he delivers it. And even, like, Rear Window?
Yeah.
Still completely different. Like, he's not being shoehorned into a niche, so to speak. He's just brilliant in anything he touches, apart from that one that we did watch.
Yeah, the Hitchcock remake, The Man Who Knew Too Much.
Yeah, I don't blame James, though. I don't think
that was the studio's problem, as I said in that episode, it was, which I didn't realise, the fact that it was like, oh, we need a remake. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll pick this one. And yeah, that was a bit of a letdown. But I
think I can't tarnish him. Like, I was thinking, oh, is this going to make me not like James Stewart or enjoy any of it? And I was a bit hesitant coming into it, but actually I'm really glad we watched it.
Yeah. So with watching this, obviously, like, do you think you would have enjoyed it as much if you weren't in the knowledge that James Stewart was in it? Because, or would you be like, let's not even bother? Because, like, again, a star power kind of thing of that. Like, you know, you go see a film of recent years and it's like, oh, I don't know, Ryan Gosling's in it, for example. Something's like, oh, yeah, I really like him. Let's go see the film. Regardless of what it is, I will go see the film.
I guess, but then at the same time, like, I know, like, if sometimes, like, with Ryan Reynolds, I used to really want to see anything he was in, but sometimes certain ones just don't gel.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine, and it sadly is the case with some of them. Like, I still don't think we've watched that.
Free Guy.
Yeah.
We gave it a try, and
we just never went back to it.
No.
But I think why this, for me, like, even if James Stewart wasn't in it, and they had somebody in his place, and it was still the same storyline, I still think I'd have enjoyed it. I do think that, because the comedy was there, the humour was there, it was light-hearted, and it wasn't
wasn't doing it so seriously.
It wasn't a proper shootout Western. Like, I think I don't mind a comedy Western. Like, I think that if it's like
the drunks and everything, like they're falling over the table, that kind of thing and stuff.
Just a little bit of slapstick humour.
Yeah.
Whereas I think The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, we knew we were going to come to this. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Like, how many times do I have to speak about this film?
For the rest of time.
I don't know. It was just so long, very serious, very shooty, very just not a lot happening, a lot of desert. Whereas this didn't feel like that. Like, we were just in like a couple of locations.
Sure.
We weren't travelling far and wide over the desert. It felt a bit more like Red Dead Redemption, this did for me. Like, like playing that game and enjoying it, and being, if you wanted to be the good person, you could be. And I don't know, I feel like a Western that way is a bit better than, oh, pum pum, eye shots, everything like that. That just really pisses me off. Like, just flip and shoot one another. If you're going to do it, just get it over and done with.
Mm.
But I think that's because, for me, I'm not an action person. We actually watched this weekend for my mum, didn't we? The Beehive, whatever.
Beekeeper.
Uh-huh. And I was a bit like, spoke to my mum about it today, and she was like, I was a bit disappointed. And I was like, why? It's everything you'd want. And I'm thinking, it shows how people's tastes in films can change. Like, back in the day, if my mum watched that, she'd have absolutely thought it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now she went, it was a bit predictable. I'm like, yeah, it's literally, but an action film is predictable. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, that's... And so is a romance, like... It's pretty much what it says on the tin.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of, like, shooting and violence in an action, and there's going to be, mm-hmm. oh, boy meets girl or falls in love.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, I wouldn't anticipate what I was getting. I could never have said to you how it was going to all pan out, and I think that's why I enjoyed it.
Okay, well, I'd take it a bit different, obviously, because I know roughly gauge the story, like, what it's going to go for and how it's sort of going to end in a sense. But maybe that's just because I've watched
more Westerns.
There is a little bit of that to that in that sense, but also just in a general like story, like say, even if it was just like, I don't know, a gangster film or
thing, but I still think
a little less mild mannered.
The humour in it though as well, I think that was something, because I'm a bit funny with humour, and I think this humour was sincerely funny, and I don't know if it's an age thing, like the. They just didn't have to try as hard back then to be hilariously funny. It was just so simple, but it was humorous. And I think it wasn't over the top like mm-hmm. Bridesmaids shitting in the middle of the street. You know, it was just good mm-hmm. old banter.
Yeah, or just like physical comedy, really.
Yeah.
Not over the top.
Like Friday Night Dinner.
What do you mean?
Well, that's physical comedy if you think about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that works in an episodic sense and for that one.
You love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think with when I'm saying it's not predictable, there's certain bits that took me by surprise.
Yeah.
Like, can we just speak about Frenchie's character?
Yeah.
I feel like she's a bit of a love-hate character for me. Like, I can understand as from a woman perspective, like, every woman will hate her. Like, she's a threat.
Yeah, I'm sure there was, like, a point when all the women in the saloon were, like, ganging up on her, like, almost like, but dog piling on her, like, throw away, you're like ruining, you know, our marriages and all that kind of stuff in a way.
And that they hate her.
Yeah.
And every man is like infatuated with her. But she's not got anyone really she can trust. She's not safe, like, in her job and her position. She's backstabbing everybody. You think the way that at the beginning, mm-hmm. the guy that you warned about holds his.
Yeah, Mr. Kent, yeah.
You think they're in a relationship and like she does kiss him and such and they seem quite. Close, like she's his little sweetheart.
Yeah, I would have assumed that from that interaction, but
it's not the case. No. And he kind of pushes her around and hits her about a bit,
mm-hmm.
and basically just using her to help with his betting corruptness.
Yeah, I think the only real friend that she's got who's also female persuasion is the housekeeper maid.
Yeah,
from, I think,
which has to be a black woman.
Yeah,
Louisiana
or.
Yeah. I do feel like it's racist, but I was there. Yeah. No,
but again, at the time, that was the case.
Yeah. But she was quite close to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her fondness of Frenchie's character, then really liking Tom or James Stewart's character, she initially hated him and then did like a 360 towards the end where you could see like something was blossoming, I felt. Because I didn't know if it was going to be the woman that he came with, James was going to get a relationship with.
I mean, that's sort of maybe implicated at the very end.
Yeah, but he moves on a bit too quick for my liking, because it's like pro Frenchie took a bullet for him. Like,
I know, yeah.
She sacrificed herself for
him. Very noble of her, yeah.
Yeah, which you wouldn't think she would have been like that at the beginning. The way that she were like throwing shit at him when she poured water all over her and that other woman.
Yeah, yeah.
But then even Frenchie does a 360 again by, well, do you want your men to be, your husbands to be killed? Go do something, women. And she rallies them up.
And I think that's quite another female empowerment scene, even for that time. Like, mm-hmm. They all kind of like bum rush the saloon and all the men are a bit like, oh my God.
We
like,
can't shoot a woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're all whacking him with like brooms and stuff and buffing him on the head. Like, and it's like, they're getting... Absolutely mollywopped.
You were going to actually say something then, and I think you've hit the nail on the head for me. Like a cartoon. Like, and I think that's what the innocence is. Like, a bit like a Tom and Jerry kind of vibe.
Yeah.
It's funny slapstick humour that would happen, and it could, and it's realistic, and it works so well. But you're right. Frenchie, she is, like, empowering the women. Like, you can stick up for yourself. You don't just have to be a housewife. And kind of do everything the man says. Like, you can be there too, and
mm-hmm.
she's showing them a different way. And it's, I didn't think Frenchie was going to die. Like, I didn't. I didn't see that. And that really impacted me because of, like, I started to hate her at the beginning because I understand why any woman would hate her because she's a threat. She's, like, beautiful and flaunting it all around every man.
Yeah.
And if your man's fickle enough, then he will go. But then she's like, actually, she's a really good person. And I really wanted her to get with Tom or James.
Destry. Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah, right, I see. Yeah.
And then I was a bit like, oh. And the fact that she dies for him.
I suppose it makes it a bit more poignant, really, that of the situation with that and that she would go to those efforts for someone she'd not known for that long at all.
No.
Yeah, I obviously can see from him it's been like the, you know, like making a big difference in the town, really, that in a more gentleman-like way.
And I think that's what's wonderful about his character. Like, the first, he's got some really, really good moments where he shows he's really impactful.
Yeah.
So, like, with the water when the two women are fighting, and he doesn't straight away rush in and split them up. He stands there for quite a while watching them. And I feel like it's a parent with your children, like, I'm going to stand here and look.
And then go, right, okay, enough's enough.
Yeah.
Sort that out. And then, because at that point, everyone's sort of like, before they were all like laughing at him in the saloon, going,
parasol.
Yeah, I was some milk instead of. You know, hard
reminded
liquor.
Me of me.
It's what you don't. Yeah. White Russian.
Milk, yeah. But.
And then it quickly turns on them. Oh, they're now the laughing stock, especially once they pour the water on them both. And
I think it's just a really. He's like, right, I'm just going to put the fire out. Like, literally, that's what it's like. I'm just going to get a bucket of water. And she'd pretty much ammoed him with that, saying, oh, well, if you cleaned up wherever you were last time, you can clean up Bottleneck by sweeping the saloon up.
Yeah.
And mopping it.
Don't miss out on the corners.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, right.
And then from that, immediately after, obviously, like, the wife, I forget her name now, Mrs. Callahan or whatever she's called, I think. And she, like, runs off. Oh, look, you got your pants are torn and sopping wet and everything. She runs off there laughing at him. And then Frenchie's like, well, she pulls out a gun. And everyone's like, oh, my God, kind of thing. That runs away. And he's like, wait a minute. Again, all like the chairs to.
It's amazing.
Like, you know, block all the barrage of stuff that she's throwing at him and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's like, oh, woman's wrath, you know.
And she's really, really, really annoyed at him. Like, she's like livid, like, you've made me look a mess in front of everybody. How dare you, like, disrespect me like that? And she's finding anything she can throw at him. And it's just hilariously funny because he's like, he's not going to hurt her. Nor is he going to put her in jail for doing what she's done. And then he does another point where the town, somebody's running through, shooting up at things, and he's like, what do you think you're doing? Like, oh, let me have a look at your guns, and they're taking the mick out of it because he's got empty gun
holsters.
But then he's like whipping the gun around, showing that he can.
It's like, this is good. Yeah, it's typical, like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing with this, and then go, pew, 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 like, shoots all the things up on the thing to get. And again, it's like an intimidation thing. It's like, well, I don't want you doing this again, you understand, type of
thing. But it's like, I can do it, but it doesn't mean I have to. But I'm showing you I am a threat.
Because I think it's ingrained in the culture, in a sense of these kind of Western villains, like the kids are like, well, there's a kid on the ranch, he's holding a big massive shotgun type of thing, and it's like instilled in you that you have to learn how to shoot a gun. So from of his dad, who he reveals that he gets shot in the back from, like, protecting things, oh, that's not, you know, a great thing to have happened. Like, look where that got him with this so-called protection of these guns.
Yeah.
Because you can never, you know, keep your wits about you with this kind
of
situation.
He got shot in the back, didn't he? And it's like, well, you can't prevent
that. That's what I mean,
Really? So I think it's quite funny because, yet again, it is Americanized, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is,
Thought it was.
Yeah. It's not Korean, like, in good lad.
No, but still, in the moment, Americans have problems with guns, and I feel like even back then they knew really they weren't that good of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if a sheriff doesn't want to own a gun, then there's a moral behind it.
More power to him, yeah.
So it does make you think, like, it's not really, they're not really worth the hassle they are. Like, they're more, we're worse off having
more
them.
Trouble, yeah.
Then, exactly.
Yeah.
I also got quite upset when the drunk sheriff got killed. And it was all like in a ruse, and it was because of that Callahan, not Callahan's husband, whatever he's called.
I think it was Boris. He was keep moaning about, oh, I'm not Callahan because he's taking his wife's name.
Yeah.
Instead of the traditional way of doing it. But I think it's maybe because he's a bit of a loser and he kind of, again, loses his pants in a betting game of cards, and that's the only pair he's got, apparently. and things like that. Yeah, so he's a bit of a... He's a step above what Dimmesdale was as a drunk, essentially.
Yeah.
A bit of a laughingstock character, really. And, yeah, he kind of slips up from that and causes the death, I think.
No, 100%, he does. And which is a shame, because it was all going to go well for him, but obviously it has to be like a massive shootout instead, which ends in Tom's favour, or James's, but it's still bittersweet that he loses the guy that recruited him. And
I know, yeah.
He didn't get to see what he actually ends up doing.
Like I say, the town, yeah.
Yeah, so and Frenchie gets shot as well and dies. So you do lose quite a few main characters.
Yeah, you do, which... Again, I would be interested, like, for like the audience of the time, they would probably have been like, "Oh my god!" Like, really taken aback by it for that. And it's always interesting to think about like what impact it would have had for an older audience when it came out initially to like a modern one now, and obviously like from as we're doing now, like a perspective of what we took away from it and how it made us feel. That it's still like got. You, like, didn't expect it to happen.
I don't know. I feel like Frenchie and Tom should have been a thing, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they deserved to be together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she justified herself. But I think it's heroic of her to have done what she did.
Yeah. No, definitely.
But then I didn't really like how it was like, oh, yeah, bottlenecks now, a peaceful town. You know, we've killed all the rebel kind of within it. And then he's... asking this other girl that he came with, oh, what do you think of marriage? And it's like,
well, the thing about marriage is, and then, like, I love how that kind of, he's like, just doing a tale as the credits kind of roll, and you kind of see him, like, going, as if, like, you explain this kind of, as if he, like, he's just waffling on a bit, because he does that a few times, like, he almost, like, situational stories he's got, like, oh, well, I knew a guy once who did, I think it's trying either to, I say, like, put out the fire of what the situation is, depending on. If it's like a bad one or whatever, or like, oh, just think about it this way rather than going off on one about and things like
it's
that.
It's just a different perspective he's portraying, isn't he? Which is good.
I think it's more of a for the woman he came with. It's more like, oh, she's like sort of smitten by him really a little bit. And
well, wouldn't you be? I mean, he is beautiful. I get it. But does she deserve him? Like, and how's he moved on? What about poor Frenchie?
I mean, I think when he hears the. We mentioned before about the other little girl who was riding along in the car, and she was singing that Little Joe song. Mm. I think he was still a bit like, oh, I just remember of that. But
yeah, and it looked like a new Frenchie were coming on town eventually. She'd be, when she grows up, that one.
Will yeah, be yeah, like be the new one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She'd be in the bar singing, down the line.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, at that point, you don't really, you assume maybe it's a couple of days or something, maybe, that's how long time has passed for that, not like a whole like year or anything, in it. Because it say, like, 1 year later. And...
It should do. It should imply, like, 2 years later, and then you think, okay, fair enough, you've moved on. No. It just feels like it's like, oh, no, our Frenchie's dead, right? Do you want to marry me instead?
It didn't say, yes, I will, did he? Kind of just, like, going off on a spiel of something. So maybe it was just...
It just felt like it was implied, wasn't it? Yeah.
Okay. So does that knock down a point?
No, it doesn't.
I am going to... Throw it to you, though, first, this time.
Huh? This is not how this
I know,
works.
But...
Why are you making up the rules?
Well...
I have a score in mind, it's fine, but I've just...
Well, actually, no, think about it, because obviously the last time I had to give because of the movie, so...
Did you enjoy the Liz McGuire movie, Paul?
You have to listen to the episode to find out, won't you?
So I am going to give my very most favourite Western an 8. James Stewart. It could be a 9, actually.
You would watch it again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was very adamant, wasn't it?
And it's short runtime as well. It's like an hour and a half.
No, I'm going 9. It's
okay,
bumped. Well. 8 would be if it didn't have James Stewart. 9 is because of the star power of James Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. I love the film. It's got good comedy. It's humorous.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like it dragged. It was in black and white and it was stunningly beautiful. Just. everything about it was mwah.
Yeah, very positive. Yeah. I thought you might have been in an 8, but didn't expect it to get...
Yeah, because I was thinking, well, Sophie, you really enjoyed it. Yeah. Why is it not a 9?
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. Yeah, okay.
What's yours, Paul?
I'm going to go with an 8.
Okay, so we could have been same.
Could have been same, yeah. I say, like, for a short runtime, mm-hmm. works in its favour. Doesn't waste time in, like, what it's got to say. There's a lot to enjoy of the, say, like, the comedy aspect of it, and not just... I sort of know what I'm getting from that, mm-hmm. from, you know, as films that came later, or even, like, I think to my dad, who watched, like, a show called Bonanza or something, and it's kind of that kind of typical, like, comedy Western series that was sort of, like, follows in that footsteps. So I sort of know vaguely about that, what it was going to be like that. But I say, you've got James Stewart in lead role.
And what do you think of James Stewart?
It's very good.
He is,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you fancy him?
No, but I get happiness from knowing that you're happy watching films that have him in, I guess. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's quite sweet. I don't know if I feel the same way about Emma Stone, but maybe that's because she's still alive.
Maybe, yeah. And yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, really.
It was?
Yeah.
I know, I was smiling.
Yeah.
You looked over me like, you're enjoying it? I'm like, yeah?
Yeah.
And you were like, sat there like, bless you, the cat had got the cream.
Yeah, so that was great that we've both enjoyed it, and it was something that you wouldn't go, oh, that was terrible. It was kind of, would have been a low score, but only pipped by James Stewart being in it. So
I was reluctant to watch another Western. So if there is other Westerns with James Stewart in it, I might consider.
There is, as I say, the other one I have seen before, and I'd say it's a bit more serious. Not in the same as, like, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, but it's a black and white one, but there's a lot more, it's not as light-hearted as such. A bit more aggression, I suppose, in a way.
From James?
Yeah, surprisingly. Oh. So.
Are you a bad person?
No, I wouldn't say that, but I'll leave it there for now. So maybe covered down the line, as you'll see.
So what have you got in store for me next week?
Well, next week is going to be another guest spot.
Oh, okay. So we've got someone to join in.
Mm-hmm.
He or she.
It's a female guest.
Okay, cool.
But that's all I'll say.
That's fine. That's all I
need. Very prolific in the podcast community, I'd say. So.
Oh, interesting. So. Powerhouse.
Yeah, I'd say so. In our little movie review history.
Excited then. Got a good film? Did they pick it?
They picked it, yep.
All right.
So we've worked out the way of that. So
let's just hope I like it.
Hope you will. I think you've got some eye candy in it. So.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Right, well, let's go on to next week then. Oh yeah, we have to do the where you can find us and all that jazz, don't we?
So thank you very much for listening to this episode. And if you'd like to check out some of our other episodes, you can do so by going to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and wherever else you get your podcasts from. And as always, be sure to leave us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, and wherever else to do the scoring system.
And if you haven't already, then why are you not following us? So you can follow us on X.
Or Twitter, yeah.
Threads, Instagram, TikTok. And you can follow us under the handle SP_filmviewers.
I'd also like to shout out the Patreons who continue to support the show every single month. And they are Alex and Shani, who are desperately seeking username and SDOG, respectively, on Instagram.
We've then got Jonesy and Em, who are both on Instagram, under the handle weightlossjonesy and M_Hayton.
Also got Mark from 100 Things We Learned From Film, Nico from The Good, The Bad and The Weird podcast, and Ben from filmfloggers/Ben Push Pull Health.
And then lastly but not least, we've got Gren, who's on Instagram under the handle cgren_draw, and my mum.
So if you want your name read out every single episode and have the opportunity to vote for a movie we watch once a month, then all you need to do is go over to patreon.com patreon.com/spfilmviewers. And for as little as £1 or $1.50 a month, you get those lovely little perks. Be very much appreciated if you did join us.
Yeah, expand our little family.
So thank you once again for listening, and we will speak to you next time.
Speak to you next time.
Bye.
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 Bye.